Heavenly Father, we pray for your special anointing upon us by the power, the inspiration, the presence of your Holy Spirit. May only your word be spoken and only your word be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 16 in the Red Pew Bibles. This is page 1035. Page 1035 in the Red Pew Bible. Just to set the context a little bit, Jesus has been involved in ministry for quite some time now, but now he's sending the disciples out to do what he had been doing, going around talking about the kingdom of God. And so he gives them this word, really, of warning about what they should expect to encounter as they go out into the world. I believe it's also a message for us what we should expect to encounter as we follow the example of Jesus and his ministry. And so again, these are the words of Jesus to his disciples as he's sending them out into the world. Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 16. "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Well, as the Bishop of the Anglican Diocese of the South and as the Archbishop of the Anglican Church in North America, it's a real privilege to be here with you. I want to thank you for your prayers for me and for Allison as we've been on this journey. And it has been quite a journey being the Archbishop and the Bishop at the same time. I want you to know I pray for you regularly and pray for Don and Debbie, and I want to thank Don for his leadership in this place, in this community, your stand for the gospel, your witness, and you're empowering folks with the Spirit. It's just so impressive and encouraging. And so thank you for your leadership here. You are part of a worldwide communion. The Anglican Church in North America is in communion with about 50 million of the 70 million Anglicans around the world. We have about 30,000 members now in the Anglican Church in North America, a little over 1,000 churches, about 50 bishops in 29 dioceses, well, actually 30 dioceses now, and then a special jurisdiction for chaplains. And we have about a little over 1,700 clergy that are ministering throughout North America, which includes Canada, U.S., and we are not supposed to talk about it, but Cuba as well. We've got churches in Cuba going. So just wanted to let you know that you're not alone, and your witness here in Hiawassee in North Georgia is known in other places as well. So let's pray. Father, as we open your word, we now ask that you would come in the power of your Spirit, come and speak to us, give us what you want us to have this day, and then help us when we leave this place to apply it in our lives. And it's in the name of Jesus and for his glory that we pray. Amen. So if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to open back up to that passage. I'm sorry?
Profession of faith.
Oh, your confession of faith. Forgot about that. Very important. So with the tradition here at Christ the King, for your speakers that come before you, I with honor and privilege pronounce his statement of faith. I renounce Satan and all the evil forces of this world that seek to destroy me, my family, and God's church. I believe in Jesus Christ, who is revealed to us in the Old and New Testaments, which are God's inspired word. In my heart, I believe that Jesus Christ is fully God, that Jesus Christ has become in the flesh by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and is fully human, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the whole world, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, and that Jesus Christ will come again. I believe that only Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that only Jesus Christ is Lord of all, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. This Jesus I have accepted as my Savior because he died on the cross for my sins. And this Jesus I profess and serve as my Lord and the one whom I seek to please in all that I think, all that I say, and all that I do. This Jesus Christ is the Almighty to which I submit myself, as he is the head of our church and the one who sends his Holy Spirit to equip us, empower us, direct us, and protect us, that our Heavenly Father's will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So now, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. If you have your Bible, if you don't, there's one in the pew rack, or you can turn it on your phone. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, and we're going to look at this passage about Jesus sending out his apostles to proclaim the gospel. Now, the context of this passage is we have to go back to the end of chapter 9, really, to get the whole context. And Jesus has looked out at the crowds. He's seen all these people, and he expresses his compassion. In John chapter 9, verse 36, we find these words. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Even in his day, in the first century, the harvest was plentiful and there were few laborers. And Jesus' solution to this was to pray, asking God to send forth laborers into his harvest. And this right here should stop us in our tracks. I mean, how often have we prayed and asked the Lord to send out workers into the harvest? Our ministries must be undergirded by constant prayer, and especially for the workers. So the first part of the next chapter, which is where our text is, chapter 10, sees Jesus appointing 12 apostles. They go from being just disciples, learners or doers, those who are constantly studying, to apostles, those who are sent forth. R. Alan Cole writes, he says, "To the Jew, the word apostle was well defined. It meant a special messenger with a special status, enjoying authority and commission that came from a body higher than himself." Jesus specifically chose 12, these 12, to be his apostles. He called and commissioned them for a specific purpose, and he authorized them to teach and to do certain things in his name. Now, verse 6 tells us on this occasion they were not to go to the Gentiles, that is, those who were not Jews, and they weren't to go to the Samaritans. Those were the, like, they were like cousins to the Jews, and they had disagreements. But they were to go to who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel, to the Jews. Verse 7 tells us what they were to preach, what they were to say. "And proclaim as you go, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then verse 8 tells us what they were to do. They were to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. And then the next few verses tell us how they were to behave. He gives directions on how they are to behave when they visit a town or when they visit somebody's home. And then we get to the passage for today, starting with verse 16. He says, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Expect to be attacked. Expect to be hunted. I don't know about you, but when I think of wolves, I think of their teeth. So he says, be wise. Be innocent. Then in verse 17, he says, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through them." He says here, don't be surprised the Jewish leaders drag you into their courts and ask you all kind of details about doctrine. And don't be surprised if they don't like your answers and you're flogged. You know what flogging is? That's where they use the whip with the cat of nine tails on the end of it, and they strike it across your back and you get 39 lashes. That's a flogging. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if you end up in the secular courts or before the government leaders of the Gentiles. Basically, in that day, that was the Romans. Don't be surprised if you end up in the Roman courts. Don't fret about it. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Verse 20, "For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Verse 21, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Even your family members will hand you over because of the gospel. They will hate you because of your witness for Jesus Christ." Verse 23, "When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Stay on mission. When you're persecuted in one city, go to the next. Don't stop, for the Son of Man's coming right after you. And then verse 24 to 26, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household. Jesus is saying, if they persecuted me, if they called me Beelzebul of the devil, don't be surprised if they come after my family. That is those who follow me. Wow. You ready to sign up for this mission? You ready to lay it all on the line? Well, that's exactly what these men did. The book of Acts tells us about their gospel adventures, taking the saving message of Jesus literally all over the world. As the Archbishop, I'm privileged to travel to different places, and one of the places I got to go was to the tomb of Mark, St. Mark, in Cairo. He was martyred in Alexandria, Egypt, for proclaiming the good news of the gospel there in North Africa. And his spiritual descendants are still there. It's interesting that his tomb was guarded by a tank and two soldiers because of the climate there in Egypt right now. I've also had the privilege of going to India to the tomb of the Apostle Thomas. Thomas had a vibrant ministry in India, and he was eventually martyred. And again, his spiritual descendants are still there. There are many folks who trace their spiritual line directly to Thomas. These guys went all over the place following Jesus' instructions. Well, Jesus doesn't stop here. He tells his apostles not to be afraid when they go. Actually, in these verses, he tells them three times not to be afraid. Look at verse 26. So have no fear, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim to the housetops. He says, tell people what I tell you. Proclaim to the world what I show you. Don't be afraid of those who attack you, because all evil will be revealed. Their time will come. In the meantime, proclaim what I give you to say. Verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body. Don't fear what humans can do to you. Fear what the Lord could do to you. Man can hurt the body, but they cannot hurt the soul. Fear the Lord who determines what becomes of your soul. And in verse 29, he says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Sparrows are important to the Lord. He says he pays attention to every detail. But you're more important to our Heavenly Father. He even knows the number of hairs on your head. Looking around, I can see some of you have a few more than others. But he then summarizes his charge to the apostles with these words. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Strong words to men who are just like we are, just like us. But because of their witness, they turned the world literally upside down. They were a small, tiny sect, a small, tiny minority in the Roman Empire. And within 300 years, they had literally turned the tables because of their witness for Jesus Christ. So my question to us is, how might all of this apply to us here in the 21st century? And I want to offer you several suggestions. First, Jesus calls us to follow him, and in following him, speak for him and allow him to speak through us. Never in history have his words been more needed than in our world today. Not just here in the States, but literally all over the world. Secondly, just as in the first century, to speak for the things of God today can create waves and bring on persecution. And persecution, just like the three areas he mentions here. Expect persecution from members of your family. Some of your nearest and dearest will think you are mad, unintellectual, gone off the deep end, narrow-minded, bigoted, homophobic, uncool, and definitely not politically correct. Sometimes we followers of Jesus Christ are confronted with the difficult choice of choosing between obeying Jesus and His Word or obeying our family and our relatives. And you will be persecuted. Secondly, expect persecution by the church. In the New Testament days, they expected to be persecuted by leaders of the synagogues. The religious establishment had a difficult time hearing that the Messiah had come and that the Messiah was this guy, Jesus. Today, sadly, it is no different in many parts of the church. As leaders have become complacent in their faith or lax in their doctrine, or in many cases clearly disobedient to the Word of God, the Bible. And to follow Jesus and His teaching will mean getting kicked out of some church like that, or called all kinds of names, or ostracized because these so-called followers of Jesus think that you are nuts, you're fundamentalist, you're not really Christian. Many of you have experienced this firsthand. And thirdly, expect persecution by the government. As in Jesus' day when the apostles were brought before courts and kings and governmental leaders, so today, literally all over the world, governmental leaders are persecuting followers of Jesus. Millions and millions of Christians are being persecuted today for no other reason that they are a follower of Jesus. In this country, stand up for Jesus, for biblical morality or for biblical theology in a public place, and guess what? You will find yourself in court. Remember, when Jesus spoke these words, there were no so-called Christian governments or Christian leaders. They were all pagan. But even in countries where governments say they are Christian, followers of Jesus are being persecuted for speaking the truth. Proclaiming the gospel in many places is considered hate speech. So persecution by family, by the church, and by the government. It's still happening. Should this stop us from following Jesus? Should this stop us from preaching His Word? Should this stop us from helping those in need in His name? No, it shouldn't. Actually, the Holy Spirit's leading us to do this in the world. We're the physical hands of Jesus. We're His verbal mouthpiece. We're His arms of compassion and mercy. We're His feet of action. He's calling each of us to follow Him no matter what the consequences, no matter what the persecution, no matter what the cost. Knowing that we are not to fear those who can kill the body because they cannot kill the soul is part of how we go. Why? Why? Because Jesus has compassion for people. Because He sees them distressed and helpless. He sees them like sheep without a shepherd. He sees their loneliness. He sees their heartache. He sees their physical ailments. He sees their need for forgiveness. He sees their addictions to food and sex and other things which medicate and numb the soul. And God knows that the real answer for them is to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through His death and resurrection on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. You see, you and I have the answer to their cancer of the soul. You and I have the answer to what abundant life is for each human being and what everyone's craving for. You and I have the answer on how to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, that is God's presence with you and in you. And His name is Jesus. And it's through His death and His resurrection that we, you and me, can have forgiveness of our sins and the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And once you know this, and once you've experienced this, We want to be the hands that help others. We want to speak up and tell the truth about the Word of God and of God. We must care for the suffering because God's Spirit is within us. It's just a part of who we are in Jesus Christ. And if persecution comes, it comes. If alienation comes, it comes. If rejection comes, it comes. But I cannot deny my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, this is pretty heavy. Yes, it is. But people's lives are on the line. People's eternal destiny is on the line. We have their cure. We have the answer. And so we live in a time, in a time in history, now in this country too, where just being a Christian makes you really different. Makes you a source of persecution or ostracization or alienation. But should that stop us? No. Because we love the Lord and we love what He's done in our life. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, You stretched out Your arms of love on the hardwood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of Your saving embrace. So clothe us in Your Spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know You to the knowledge and love of You. For the honor of Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.